you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right, let's do it. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. What's going down right now on Capitol Hill, David?
Yeah, it is Robert Hur, the prosecutor who investigated Joe Biden's mishandling of classified documents, is testifying in the House today to defend his assessment that Joe Biden unlawfully retained those documents but also couldn't be put on trial, well, because he's an old, frail man who's got memory issues.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And, you know, it's interesting watching Democrats saying, well, he was totally exonerated, and then Robert Hur is asked, was he totally exonerated? And Robert Hur says, well, no. Again, and I think this is the key part, though. It's part of his opening statement where he was responding to the attacks coming from the White House and other Democrats. I'd say it was totally out of bounds for him to talk about Joe Biden mixing up, you know, little dates that anyone could mix up. Like, I don't know, what year your son died?
Yeah. I mean, that was a strange thing. Here's what he said.
The evidence and the president himself put his memory squarely at issue. We interviewed the president and asked him about his recorded statement. Quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. He told us that he didn't remember saying that to his ghostwriter. He also said he didn't remember finding any classified material in his home after his vice presidency. And he didn't remember anything about how classified documents about Afghanistan made their way into his garage. My assessment in the report about the relevance of the president's memory was necessary and accurate and fair. Most importantly, what I wrote is what I believe the evidence shows and what I expect jurors would perceive and believe. I did not sanitize my explanation.
Okay. It's kind of hard to argue with that part, isn't it?
Well, I mean, if anything, I think he went a little too easy on Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, just as an example, so you have one of the Republicans questioning her, saying, hey, this is kind of scary what we're seeing here. You know, the way all of a sudden what I can just forget that I'm taking home classified documents, say, you know, I am getting older. I'm a little senile. Sorry about that. And you're fine. Is that sort of the new bar we're setting?
My assessment is that the evidence, if presented at trial alongside potential defense arguments, would not probably result in a conviction at trial.
Well, that's one of the points you make, is that President Biden's likely to be an elderly, sympathetic a figure with a poor memory. But how does that bear on any individual's guilt or innocence?
That's kind of the point.
Yeah, really good question, yeah.
There's really no answer for that. So they conclude again that, yes, didn't remember, he's kind of old and senile, whatever. That's when Captain Nads, a favorite of this show, Jerry Nadler, if there was a poster child for just why do people hate politicians, there is his picture.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And he wants to put something into the record, okay?
Okay.
Just so you know, the Washington Post wrote an article that said he's fine.
So
I don't follow politics like as much as you, David. I mean, we have to for the show, but I mean inside the Beltway and all that garbage. I'm sitting there going, the Washington Post? Who gives a flip about that? Are you kidding?
Mr. Chairman, I ask unanimous consent that a copy of an article in this morning's Washington Post entitled Full Transcript of Biden's Special Counsel Interview Paints Nuanced Portrait. The President doesn't come across as absent-minded as her has made him out to be.
Without objection.
My gosh!
Oh, buddy. Oh. I'm glad he put that in the record, actually, because despite what the headline and the subheader might say, it's freaking embarrassing for Joe Biden.
That's what you were telling us off air.
I mean, including, you know, him not remembering what year the 2016 election was in. there's one point he's talking about cars, and then Joe Biden starts making vroom noises.
Car vroom noises.
Yeah, vroom. Vroom. Yeah, you know, you take your foot off the gas and it just goes vroom, vroom, vroom. He's doing that in a room full of government lawyers. I mean, it's kind of remarkable. The part about Bo Biden, he brings it up, and then he suggests that Bo Biden in 2017 was deployed to Iraq. And, that's not true. Bo Biden, sadly, had been dead for 2 years at that point. So he's getting all sorts of mixed up. And then when Joe Biden came out the day after this report dropped, I'm doing the Biden memory thing. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden comes out that evening and slams the special counsel. He says, the special counsel, I thought, who the hell do you think you are bringing up my son's death when he asked about that?
Right.
Well, the transcript clearly shows that it was Biden who brought it up. And actually, Robert Herr says, well, I want to tell you, I'm so very, very sorry for your loss. And do we need to take a break? So this guy who was supposedly really mean by bringing up Bo Biden's death actually was uncomfortable, clearly. Well, at least if you're reading the transcript, it's hard to guess what the emotion was behind it without hearing it. But he said, oh, I'm sorry for your loss, and then suggested they take a little break because, Joe was spiraling.
Man, oh, man. And we'll get into more of it, with the whole classified documents. And one of the reasons he wanted to keep a hold of stuff, because he had a deal for a book. He was telling the ghostwriter this stuff. We know that part. I had not heard, maybe I'm the only one, how much he was getting paid for that book. Do you know the number?
Yeah, I heard it this morning. $8 million, right?
$8 million.
$8 million?
Yes. Jim Jordan's like,
$8 million?
$8 million reasons to hold on to those documents
to read
for
the
book.
Biography of Joe Biden?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
I'm like, $8 million? Are you joking me? Yeah. More of that a little bit later.
Holy smokes, man.
Something else going on with Biden. Did he apologize for saying illegal?
Dude.
When describing the killer of the girl in Florida?
Yeah.
Because that was a big story yesterday. Oh, he's apologizing. Whoa. White House is saying, no, that was not an apology. What are we talking about here,
yeah,
David?
Yeah, Biden spokeswoman Olivia Dalton now claims Biden didn't actually apologize for calling Lake and Riley's illegal alien killer an illegal.
Okay.
First of all, I want to be really clear about something. The president absolutely did not apologize. There was no apology anywhere in that conversation. He did not apologize. He used a different word. I think what we should be really clear about is the facts.
Now, here are the facts. Okay. Now, granted, if you want to say Biden never said the exact word, I apologize, sure. But you tell me. Here's the clip, the pertinent part.
Okay. Roll it.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country.
That certainly sounds like a mea culpa to me, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. How do you interpret that any other way? How could you?
Well, I suppose if you're talking about relationships, say it's not this instance. But you said a couple of wrong things during an argument, say, with a significant other. And, yeah, I should have said this. I chose that word. That was wrong. You may hear a couple of days later, you never apologized. What? I thought I did. You never said I was sorry. Oh, so I could see it there. But in the case of this, as far as, I shouldn't have said that. Okay, he didn't officially apologize, but that's what we're going to get into. He didn't apologize. No, he went a step further, saying I shouldn't have used it, and they built the country. What? People here illegally?
I really shouldn't have called you a miserable wench. I'm sorry. Except I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I'm just going to say I shouldn't have done it.
My goodness, man. Yeah, he's got problems all over the place.
Ah, boy.
There's, I would say, some good news as far as the polling. Something else we can get into deeper into the numbers. When voters are asked, hey, is there a double standard going on as far as the mishandling of classified documents with Trump and Biden? Voters say, yes, it's a double standard. They're much harder on Donald Trump. Even Democrats will say that. which I thought was pretty interesting. They even admit that. So I think that's good news.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we talk about, you know, I was just talking with some friends last night. How many people, if you only get your news from a couple of sources, we talk about it all the time, in a lot of ways, you're just kind of brainwashed. I don't know how else you would describe it.
I mean, if Biden is so fit mentally, then charge him.
Exactly.
Why not?
There you go.
Yeah.
I did see this. Talked about it yesterday. That poor 15-year-old girl near St. Louis that was beaten terribly.
Oh, God.
Last Friday, and still in critical condition. I haven't seen any update on her condition, just that she's still in critical. So I was looking for an update there. Didn't see that. But different people that were there was talking about how horrifying it was. And I think a lot of our reaction, if you've seen the video, it was making the rounds everywhere. It is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there is race involved because you can't help it anymore. This is a black girl beating a white girl. And people all over are saying, obviously, if you switch this around and it was a white girl beating a black girl, this would be a national story. So that's the way the media treats this stuff. But because of this, it's completely ignored. But you see that video and you think, why did not anyone step in and try to stop it, do something? And then I was thinking about that case in Vegas where the kid stepped in and tried to stop an attack for his friend, and he ended up getting killed.
Yeah. Well, that, or you don't know, is the county prosecutor going to prosecute me if I step in and do anything?
Well, that's a great point, too. But I saw, you know, a couple of different updates to this story. And the school, which is very much about diversity, released a statement.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I want to give you the statement and then just get your reaction to it and see if it was anywhere near mine. See if it hit the right tone or not. And then David has a story about a corrupt Illinois politician. Really? We got all day?
Redundant.
All straight ahead.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? It's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. It's the sound of $17.5 billion in new investments to produce EVs and batteries in Michigan. And that's the silence of Michigan's new En-ROAD wireless charging system. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins, thank you for being here. Mentioned the police arrest of that teen that was attacked by St. Louis Friday after school. Mm. This was the Hazelwood School District.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, yes, many people notice that it was a black girl beating a white girl, saying, hey, we all know you reverse this, this is a national story.
Sure.
Ben Crump and Al Sharpton would already be there.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be demanding a whole lot of stuff. But this is a little different situation, obviously. Some people are wondering, why isn't this a national story? It's brutal, yeah, that video. And hopefully that girl's going to be okay. We don't have an update. Just know that she's in critical condition. The other girl's been arrested.
Dang.
But the school district, which reportedly has focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and many initiatives in recent years, released a statement about the attack. It is a tragedy any time children are hurt. Mm-hmm. Bullying and fighting in the community is an issue for which we all need to take ownership and work towards a resolution for the sake of our children. The Hazelwood School District offers our sincerest condolences to everyone involved and will offer additional emotional support from our support and crisis team to those in need. We look forward to continuing to partner with our community for the sake of our children. Please be kind and respectful of the families involved during this difficult time and pledge to help work toward the betterment of our entire community.
Yeah, what a weaselly response that was.
Is there anything in particular that you took issue with?
Well, there was no mention of any sort of punishment for the people who committed the crime. There was absolutely zero.
Nothing like, first of all, bullying and fighting in the community is an issue for which we all need to take ownership.
Yeah,
no, we don't, because most people know how to act. Some people don't.
But this is the
That's attempted
state.
Freaking
right.
murder, yeah. If you saw the video. The way she repeatedly bashed her head into the cement.
Well,
she should go away for a long, long time.
None at all. No responsibility. Zero.
Exactly.
Zero.
And hearts out to all involved. How about the girl and her family, first and foremost, and mention them first. This is so pathetic. I'll leave it there.
But it's typical of the verbiage that would be used. Yeah.
Oh.
They didn't disappoint me there. They did exactly what I thought they were going to do.
Please be kind and respectful of the families.
Yeah.
How about highlight the other family? How about highlight, we're never putting up with anything like this. You're gone. We can't put up with this behavior. And to call that bullying, that's not bullying.
How about the perpetrator needs to be punished to the furthest extent of the law?
100%.
You know, why not say that? You could say that.
Jeez, man. It's disgusting.
Well, you're going to, but you could.
It's disgusting. All right. Who's the corrupt Illinois politician this time, David?
Well, this is a perfect example of the corruption of the Illinois state government. Quick backstory here. Former Chicago alderman Edward Burke was convicted by a federal jury on 13 counts of racketeering, bribery, and attempted extortion. Basically, he used his position at City Hall to force companies to hire his private law firm. So he's convicted, awaiting sentencing. After the conviction, there was a push to get his law license revoked. Obviously, you can't practice law in the state of Illinois, right?
No.
The problem is that four of the seven justices on the Illinois Supreme Court recused themselves because they had close ties to him. That means the court could not rule on it because not enough judges were available to decide the case.
Jeez, man.
And his wife actually served as a Democratic member of the state's highest court between 2006 and 2022.
Really?
And was its chief justice for the final 3 years of her tenure, 2019 through 2022. So basically they're like, well, we can't really do anything. We had to recuse ourselves. We can't. He's our buddy. We can't do that. All right. Illinois is going to Illinois.
What a swamp. That is, I mean, what else could you say other than that's a swamp? Wow. Good news, if you go to different places and stay in an Airbnb, they are going to ban hosts from spying on guests with indoor cameras.
Oh, darn it. I'm done renting then.
Dang. Well, you wanted to be spied on?
No, I wanted to spy on them.
I guess I'll just have to stop performing. Darn.
Boy, oh boy. Outdoor security cameras be fine, but the indoor ones, you're not going to be able to spy on guests indoors. I didn't know you could before.
Well, I didn't either.
There was news to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think the policy was like in common areas. You can't put them in the bedroom or in the bathroom.
Yes. Now they're saying you got to let people know. And now they're switched off. We're just going to be done with that. Because you have a couple bad apples and who knows what they were recording.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. All right, David, biggest story today?
Biggest story of the day, special counsel Robert Hur, or former, I guess, special counsel Robert Hur, is testifying about his assessment that Joe Biden is too frail, old, and senile to stand trial for mishandling classified information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been an interesting back and forth so far. Again, the good news is you look at the polling and most people see through this nonsense. That's good.
Yeah.
You would hate to think, oh, well, people think, yeah, Biden, yeah, everything was fine with him, but Trump, yeah, he was trying to obstruct justice, blah, 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 blah. So we'll get to that. We got an update in Haiti. The prime minister has resigned. And that back and forth with little George Stephanopoulos.
Oh, yeah.
Nancy Mace.
Yeah.
There's been some backlash to that we need to get to as well. Coming up right here. Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Thank you very much for being here. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, he's the millennial and the sexy boomer. That's Scott Robbins.
Uh-huh.
So an update in Haiti, David.
Yeah. So after, you know, cannibalistic gangs have taken over the country, 80% of Port-au-Prince is under the authority right now of these gangs that have been pillaging their way through the nation. Haiti's prime minister has agreed to resign. That was one of the demands of the insurrectionists in Haiti.
Got the attention and got the results they were looking for.
And remember, this prime minister was a guy who was appointed to lead the country after the previous prime minister was assassinated a few years ago. The Biden administration really wanted him to stay in power, but a lot of people were very upset because he wasn't calling for elections in Haiti. He said, we got to crack down on crime first, and then we'll hold elections. Well, that doesn't sit right with a lot of the people, especially who stand to lose if the crackdown on crime occurs. So now he says, hey, look, as soon as there is a some sort of transitional body put together, I will resign as prime minister of Haiti. So the terrorists have gotten what they wanted in this case. The U.S., by the way, Secretary of State Antony Blinken announced more funding to secure Haiti.
God, jeez. Just throw money at it.
The total commitment that we have right now to Haiti exceeds $330 million.
Golly.
And where does that money go?
Absolutely.
Well, I know it's kind of trite maybe to say this, but we couldn't use that money at the border? Telling me that was lockbox just for Haiti?
Right. Exactly.
We do this crap all the time. I mean, like, we're some naive group of people in Haiti that are taking this money and using it for good.
Yeah.
Well, when it's that corrupt of a country.
Yes!
And
so let me get this straight. Yeah. So you got this corrupt country, and you got a bunch of gangs to get together, and that looked like a real insurrection to me.
It is an ongoing insurrection, yes.
Not one where they're, like, taking selfies inside a Capitol or anything like that.
Oh, no.
I mean, like, armed insurrection. And then they get what they want by the person that was in power and then rigging it out. You're saying that's how that went down?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Let's give them $300 million. That'll straighten it out.
Well, $300 million of that is actually our contribution to Kenyan military forces that at some point are going to be deployed in Haiti to crack down on this. Now, the Kenyan government is saying, well, hold on, we need to see what this looks like now, because we had made these commitments to the now former prime minister, not whatever other government comes up. So we're not sure that we're willing to send 1,000 troops there. But we have committed $300 million in support of a military mission in Haiti, paying the government of Kenya to do that. you just have to laugh through it.
Mind-numbing. Yeah.
Unbelievable. One of the stories we talked about yesterday, and it was getting some attention, was the interview that Nancy Mace did with little George Stephanopoulos on ABC over the weekend, because she is a rape survivor. She's supporting Trump, and because of the E. Jean Carroll case, little George is asking, well, how can you support Donald Trump? And she took issue with it and totally understood it. And if you miss it, here's a little part of it I can play for you.
It's a shame that you will never feel, George. And I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not gonna do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about Donald
Trump. No, you
Trump.
Are shaming
You've
me.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim, and I find it disgusting. And quite frankly, E. Jean Carroll's comments when she did get the judgment, joking about what she was going to buy, it makes it harder for women to come forward when they make a mockery out of rape, when they joke about it.
Doesn't it make it harder for women to come forward when they...
It makes it harder when other women joke about it, and she's joked about it. I find it offensive. And I also...
George just keeps pushing back on it. Over and over and over. It goes on and on and on.
And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I'm just asking.
And I find it offensive, and this is why women won't come forward.
Women won't come forward because they're defamed by those who perpetrate rape.
He's
going to tell the victim.
Exactly.
Okay, so there were a lot of women that were totally ticked off, understandably so, at where George was going with this. And a little bit later, I heard it, Megyn Kelly yesterday went after him hard. And then brought up George Stephanopoulos' history of going after women, shaming accusers of Bill Clinton, one after another, and in disgusting ways, the way he would do that. And she took him to task. But there was something else going on here. And Molly Hemingway from The Federalist, and she appears on Fox News, pointed this out, which is really interesting because George kept saying, libel? For rape in the civil case.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Are you telling me he was lying?
It was.
Listen. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Listen to Molly Hemingway.
I think it's an excellent point. It's not just George Stephanopoulos who messed up here. It's the entire production team at ABC News. It's fine that he's a former Democrat operative who now presents himself as a journalist, but he was actually wrong on this fact. He said 10 times something that is false. He said that Trump was held liable for rape. That's just not true. And he was wrong 10 times. That's not just a him problem. That's an everybody problem. At the very least, there needs to be much more than apologies here. There should be discipline, and there should probably even be firing. The real story when it comes to the lawfare against Donald Trump is how the Democrat Party has made it a campaign to create, like, lawsuits up and down the Eastern Seaboard to go after their primary political opponent in an attempt to bankrupt and imprison him. That is Stalinist behavior. A real journalist would actually ask tough questions about that fascistic behavior, and instead of applauding it like George Stephanopoulos does or lying about it, there need to be repercussions here.
She's awesome. Molly Hemingway.
Yeah.
And, you know, legalese and trying to keep it all straight, sexual assault, rape, whatever. When I heard that interview, I didn't catch that. It was until she brought that up. I'm like, whoa. Just tell me if I'm wrong. You can get in trouble for that. You got to correct that if you're ABC, don't you?
Well, if we lived in an honest time, yes, but we don't. So,
I wonder if Trump's going to go after him for that. Good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sued a few people in his day. Don't know if you know that or not. He's not afraid to do that. That would be really interesting.
Well, he's got lawyers living with him.
Oh, my God. All the time, yes.
Whatever.
All right, that part of the show. May not be the biggest story out there, but it caught your attention. Today, David, what's your story?
Oh, man, this was pretty funny. The state of California is trying to implement a new law that would cap the number of gun purchases a person could make to one a month. So you get one gun a month, right? Firearms Policy Coalition was part of this lawsuit against the law. A federal judge struck it down yesterday, although it is still in effect pending appeal because they think the state of California is going to appeal this ruling. Something that was really interesting that the state actually argued in this case as to why they could legally limit the number of guns a person could buy every month to one is because in the colonial era of American history, we had that type of restriction for people who lived near Indian tribes. Colonial era laws were used as examples, restricting the sale and trade of firearms and gunpowder powder to Native Americans due to the risk of Native violence. Man, that doesn't sound very loving, right?
No,
it doesn't. Man. At all.
Defendants cite a Virginia law prohibiting colonists from carrying more than one gun and 10 charges of powder when traveling near any Native town or 3 miles away from an English plantation. A 1723 Connecticut law prohibiting colonists from lending guns and ammunition to Native Americans, a Maryland law limiting the amount of gunpowder sold to Native Americans, and a federal law that placed limits on trading guns with Native Americans. So before the U.S. was a country, we were pretty mean also to Native Americans, and that means that the state of California can restrict citizens' First or Second Amendment rights.
Wow. Yeah, that's not getting a lot of attention out there today. Not at all. For what's your story? What you got today, Scott?
New Mexico man has passed away, and he died because of the complications from the bubonic plague.
Oh, I saw that.
Here we go again!
You got enough to worry about, man.
They say the plague is typically transmitted by fleas and found on rats and ground squirrels and other rodents. Now, of course, let's go to the cities with the highest rat population in America. Well, Chicago would be on top of that list, followed by L.A. and then New York City, rounding out the top five are D.C. and San Francisco. You can stop me now if you're detecting a pattern, because I've already picked it up. These cities also have massive homelessness, drug problems, high crime rates, and you throw a bunch of rats on top of it, you get the bubonic plague.
All right. For my story today, for What's Your Story, it's an update, a story we've talked about before, and this is south of Chicago in Dalton, Illinois. Tiffany Henyard is the mayor there.
Ah, yes.
She's been accused of wasting taxpayer money on lavish spending.
And she's a peach.
If you remember this. Mm-hmm. Well, there are many outlets, this story initially, especially around the Chicago area. You might remember this part. Yeah.
Dalton's difficulties got worse in recent weeks with water main breaks Henyard blames on trustee budget cuts. Then four people were shot and injured last week, leaving nerves frayed and Henyard's opponents pointing out her sizable security detail.
Because she gets a lot of security.
Yeah, well.
And then when people call her out, and a lot of people they're in the city on the board are black, but she says it's still racism. They're coming after her.
Y'all should be ashamed of y'allself. Y'all black. Y'all are black. And y'all sitting up here beating and attacking on a black woman that's in power. Y'all should be ashamed of yourselves.
The only message I can take again from that is, if you are black, you should never hold a black woman accountable in power.
Ever.
You should let her do whatever she wants.
That's right.
But they're not obeying her and continue not to and doing more investigations. And the update is, because of, you know, FOIA requests and trying to find out, hey, where's all this money going? They found out that Tiffany was spending money on a makeup artist.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she gets her hair, makeup, and wardrobe done by a vendor named Style Me Brandon, owned by Brandon Moman, according to posts on his Instagram account. But they found out that he was put on the payroll. He was paid $7,650 over six transactions between April 6th and June 5th of last year, according to the documents. So what was he doing? Well, there were makeovers, wardrobe styling, image consulting, and personal shopping. She's paying this guy to go do shopping for her.
Yeah, you can't go out with a six-person detail and shop.
Yes. I mean, this is in addition to all the different trips and staying at the nice hotels in New York and Atlanta.
So this,
yes,
this dude was getting more than $1,000 per appointment, if I'm reading the tea leaves correctly.
Yes.
Holy mackerel.
Well, maybe she was taken after the former mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. Remember during the pandemic, everything was shut down, but her personal appearance was important to her. And she had to have her hair done. Not everyone can just do the Beetlejuice on demand. There's only a certain number of people that can do that hairstyle. So there's your update on Tiffany Henyard.
I think that person won an Oscar the other night. Best makeup.
Makeup and design?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Much more to get to. Multiple Palestinians arrested. What? For what? We'll get to that much more coming up right here.
pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
The Mark Lee Van Camp and Robin Show. You know, opening day's coming up.
Yeah, I do.
Big basketball tournament, too. It's a good time to check out Prize Picks.
Yeah, it's the easiest way to play daily fantasy sports. You're just playing against numbers.
Here's the deal. You pick 2 to 6 players, pick a stat projection, and choose more or less.
There are no sharks to worry about, which is nice. Just more or less. That's all you got to do. Pick one or the other.
Yep. They also offer injury insurance, so you stay and play even if one of your players gets hurt.
Prize Picks, by the way, is the only daily fantasy sports platform with an injury insurance policy.
They also offer weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments in sports.
Yeah, you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 on college basketball, pro basketball, baseball, even esports.
Download the app today. Use the code MVCR for a first deposit match up to $100.
That's code MVCR on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100.
Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Saw this story. Multiple Palestinians arrested in Italy at the start of Ramadan for plotting Islamic terror attacks. Yeah. What? They see this. Italian police did not disclose the names of these 3 terrorist suspects, but said they were connected to the Palestinian terror group. Help me, David. Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigades?
Sure.
You got it. You're in.
Nailed okay. it.
Thank yep. you. They're engaged in propaganda, planned attacks, including suicide attacks against civilian and military targets on foreign territory. So they talked to experts in this field and said, actually, it's rare for a terrorist organization to orchestrate schemes to target civilians on foreign soil. However, this heinous plot serves as a stark reminder that this group and its affiliates in the West Bank and Gaza are not resistance fighters, as they claim to be, but cold-blooded terrorists with the sole purpose of inflicting death and destruction. David May was quoted as saying the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades are linked to Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, the supposedly moderate Fatah party. Italy's arrest of these 3 terrorist planned attacks underscores the folly of treating Abbas and the PA as peace partners.
Well,
I think we already know that, but there are so many people in the United States that seem clueless to that.
Well, yeah, and when you hear the people saying Israel needs to stop its attack against Hamas because, you know, Ramadan's coming, I'm like, well, have you never heard the phrase Ramadan bombathon? Because terrorists do not take Ramadan off.
No.
In fact, they kind of like doing terrorist attacks during Ramadan.
That's why in a lot of parts of the world, like on Friday, people will be on high alert. So, I mean, it happens every year.
Yeah.
You don't hear that much from our legacy media. And you certainly, I didn't see this story anywhere. But, I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, got to be alert. And I think it's still, if you see something, say something, right?
Yes.
Unless it would offend somebody. No.
Quiet.
If you see something, say something. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. It's an interesting day on Capitol Hill, David.
Yeah, it is. Robert Hur, the special counsel that investigated Joe Biden's willful retention of classified documents from the time when he was a senator and the time when he was vice president, found that he would not prosecute him because he didn't think he could get a conviction because Joe Biden comes off as a senile old man. Well-meaning, just has a takes a ride on the whoopsie-go-round when it comes to remembering things.
Yes. So, with that, you had Democrats ticked off, saying, how dare you portray him like that? Republicans ticked off, saying, why didn't you charge him?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if he's totally fine.
Did you just get an okay because you can't remember?
Right.
What? You broke the law. He did it willingly. That's interesting. So there's part of the transcript that you've seen of him forgetting when his son died.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've seen this. Some people in media, CBS's Weijia Zhang was all over this saying, well, see, this is why Biden was upset, because Robert Hur actually lied when he said that Joe Biden didn't remember the year that his son Beau died. But the transcript actually tells the opposite as they're discussing the time where he was writing his memoir. This is key. A key part of the classified documents investigation, because he shared some of this classified information with the ghostwriter.
Correct.
So Biden, I'll just do a dramatic rendition of it if you want. Biden.
Sure.
Well, I don't know. This is what, 2017, 2018 in that area? Yes, sir. Remember this time frame, my son has either been deployed or is dying, and so it was... and by the way, there were still a lot of people at that time when I got out of the Senate that were encouraging me to run in this period, except the president. I'm not, and not a mean thing to say, he just thought that she had a better shot of winning the presidency than I did. I presumably talking about Hillary Clinton, who had already lost by 2017 and 2018, and Beau Biden had been dead for 2 or 3 years at that point.
Right.
So I'm at Penn. I hadn't walked away from the idea that I may run for office again, but if I ran again, I'd be running for president. And so what was happening, though? What month did Beau die? Oh, May 30th. Yeah, his lawyer, 2015. Yeah, 2015. Was it 2015 that he died? Yeah, it was May of 2015. It was 2015.
So they made it sound like... this was like a gotcha question. Well, what year did your son die?
Yeah.
And then he couldn't remember. That's the way it was portrayed.
Yeah.
Obviously, now we know that's not how it went at all.
No.
Well, and the way he went out at that presser, the way he handled that. Remember?
Yeah.
I mean, accusation.
There's some attention paid to some language in the report about my recollection of events. There's even reference that I don't remember when my son died. How in the hell dare he raise that? Frankly, when I was asked the question, I thought to myself, it wasn't any of their damn business.
Which made no sense to me ever. None of your damn anyone could look it up. It's such a strange answer.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Some of you have commented. I wear, since the day he died, every single day, the rosary he got from Our Lady of...
And then he forgot the thought.
Every Memorial Day, we hold a service remembering him, attending by friends and family and the people who loved him.
And again, man, you have sympathy for anyone that's lost a child. But him answering that there made no sense. It just doesn't. So Jim Jordan is asking Robert Hur today, hey, why? Why did Biden keep all these classified documents? He'd been in the game a long time. He knew it was illegal. Why did he do it? And Robert Hur's trying to say we didn't approach the why.
Why the president did what he did is not one that we explicitly address in the report. The report explains my decision to the attorney general that no criminal charges were warranted in this matter.
I think you did tell us. I think you told us, Mr. Hur.
What?
Page 231, you said this. President Biden had strong motivations. That's a key word. We're getting to motive now. President Biden had strong motivations to ignore the proper procedures for safeguarding the classified information in his notebooks. Why did he have strong motivations? Because, next word, because he decided months before leaving office to write a book.
Oh! And this is where the ghostwriter comes in, obviously. Yeah. And then this was the news, at least to me, I think to you too, Scott.
To write a book, that was his motive. He knew the rules, he broke them because he was writing a book. And you further say, and he began meeting with the ghostwriter while he was still vice president.
Hmm, that's problematic.
There's the motive. Mr. Hur, how much did President Biden get paid for his book?
This is funny.
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure if that information appears in the report.
It sure does. There's a dollar amount in there.
Yeah, it does.
You remember?
It may be $8 million.
$8 million.
Well, all of a sudden, it came right back to him. I don't think. $8 million.
Joe Biden had 8 million reasons to break the rules.
$8 million for that book.
God,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That is crazy.
Well, it goes on. Jordan was very good with that, but it kind of wrapped like this.
Page 200, Joe Biden, this is a quote, Joe Biden risked serious damage to America's national security when he shared information with his ghostwriter. Shared it with his ghostwriter, the guy who was helping Joe Biden get $8 million. And oh, by the way, Mr. Hur, what did that ghostwriter do with the information Joe Biden shared with him on his laptop? What did he do after you were named special counsel?
What did he do?
Chairman, if you're referring to the audio recordings that Mr. Zwanitzer created of his conversations with
Biden, what I'm referring to.
He slid, if I remember correctly, he slid those files into his recycle bin on his computer.
Tried to destroy the evidence, didn't he?
Correct.
Correct.
Hmm.
He's just a doddering old man. Right. Means well. That doesn't sound like a guy that means well, does it?
No, doesn't.
And that sounds like obstruction of justice, doesn't it?
Understanding
sure does.
Of how to get rid of things on his computer.
Hmm. Boy, that's a heck of a deal. We'll see where this goes.
Golly.
Yeah, it's something, man.
Man, oh man, oh man.
It really is. I mean.
Wow.
This sympathetic character, he just can't remember. He doesn't know. He can't remember. Yeah. Mentioned this before, and this was a research piece, just polling. voters see double standard in Trump charges for mishandling classified documents. And 85% of people, that's not just Republicans, wanted the transcripts on this special counsel interview. So, yeah, this is not going to bode well for Joe. Okay, just a quick update. Well, we got the election update coming up in about 10 minutes, so I'll save that for then. Man, this is something I've known for a while, but I'm surprised it's coming out again. This was from the Wall Street Journal. The new science on what ultra-processed food does to your brain.
Jeez.
You heard any of this before?
No, I don't know if I want to hear it.
Okay.
I happen to be a fan of ultra-processed food.
Right. I know. Okay, this was before your heart attacks in 2015. Do you remember, Scott, you and I having a conversation about a book I read called Sugar, Salt, Fat?
Yes.
And you're like, I don't want to hear it.
Right.
I don't care. It was most of the information in this piece today was in that book years ago. That basically, you've got this research saying, you know, chips, a lot of cereals, packaged snacks, a lot of things that people eat all the time is not just bad for your body, it's also bad for your brain.
Explains a lot. I love cereal, man. I love cereal.
Yes. A lot of ultra-processed foods hit the brain rapidly when we eat them, and it has a strong effect on our reward system, which is involved in pleasure, motivation, and learning. So those effects are very similar to, like, nicotine, booze, other addictive drugs. And that's why all of a sudden, if you see, say you are a lover of McDonald's, all you got to do is see the golden arches, and you could start salivating. The chemicals in the brain get released. It's pretty wild that that happens, but that's absolutely true. So, yeah, there's a whole report on this. Chocolate, ice cream, french fries, pizza, chips, among the top foods that people report eating in an addictive way. But a lot of the food companies, when they would test market stuff, and they would have to test things, you know, two, three, four, you know, sometimes six, seven times. But once they found the magic ingredient that would trigger that response in the brain, they knew that they could get people somewhat addicted and that would just buy more and more and more.
I remember you asking me about this because you said to me, and I quote, "Hey, man, have you seen the sugar, salt, and fat thing? Do you know about it?" And I said, "No. Is that a power trio?" You're like, "No, idiot. It's a book."
Yeah. Yeah, it was something, man. I mean, did it really change my eating habits? Maybe a little. Not as much as it should have after I read that book. But it's just interesting.
I eat much better than I used to. I mean, I'm not 100%. I'm not great, but I'm much better than I used to be.
Oh, I would agree with that.
You know.
At least from when I'm around you.
Yeah.
Yes. Something else that's out there. We'll get to this later. Because you just told us, David, this was off air earlier today. Who is it that's outlawed puberty blockers now?
Oh, it's the NHS. That's the healthcare system in the UK. They've said no more puberty blockers for minors.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
New York Magazine is supposed to be held in high regard, right? There was an op-ed they put in there that children should have the freedom to change their sex.
What?
It's oppressing kids that want to change their sex to stop them from getting
so home. They're saying a child should be able to make up their own mind on whether or not to have this done or not?
That's correct.
That's what they're saying.
Yes.
Well, why stop there? Just it's driving cars and drinking and everything else. Why not?
It's absolute insanity.
It's crazy.
It really is. It's disgusting.
Golly.
It's like these people used to hide. It's not anymore.
Man.
Yeah. Something needs to be called out. All right. So our 2024 No BS election update, straight ahead, much more coming up.
Imagine it's the last ride, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are taking you for a ride. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about treating it with Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Offer Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Thank you very much for being here. I'm Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Time for our update. Here we go.
It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins 2024.
Are you running? Are you not running?
No BS update. Everything you need to know without all the crap.
I'm out of doing our research.
Yeah. All right, David, you first.
Well, looking at the polling as it stands at this moment, a fresh round of averages from Real Clear Politics. Right now, Trump 47.4, Biden 45.7, so Trump up 1.7. That's, again, a general election national average of polling. Now, what gets more interesting, again, as we pointed out before, when you add in the third-party candidates, it gets a lot worse for Joe Biden. If you look at Trump versus Biden versus RFK Jr. versus Cornel West versus Jill Stein, Trump is up 3 points.
Yeah, it's like adding another point to Trump. That's why the bedwetters at MSNBC, you got to get out of the race.
Oh, yeah.
What's Cornel West polling at?
I didn't know
he was running.
2.4.
Okay. See, if I'm the Republicans, I'm going to infuse that with cash, the Cornel West campaign.
Well, that's what Democrats have done for the last, three election cycles to Republicans. Find the candidate that you think would damage your opponent the most and blow him up.
The campaign,
You know what's interesting? I've heard and seen several different pieces about the black vote this time around between Biden and Trump. I never hear Cornel West's name come up in that conversation.
I don't either.
No.
Interesting. Well, BET went out to talk to black voters because I think the panic is on within the Democratic Party. Like, what is going on? We got to find out what is the switch here that all of a sudden Biden and the Democrats are losing the black vote. So they go into Georgia and they go into a barbershop. And the guy that's running the barbershop is talking about, I'm thinking about voting for Trump. What? Why is that? And he's explaining it to them. And the person asking the question is saying, even with the improvements in the economy,
even though things may be improving economically, you feel there's a disconnect.
Yeah, there is a disconnect. The way these last 3 or 4 years have been, this is the worst it's ever been in my life. I never would have even considered thinking about voting for Donald Trump. But living in America these last 4, it's a consideration.
Yeah. Then she talks to a couple. Black man, black woman. And he used to vote Democratic, but not anymore. She has all the way through. They're talking about the relationship between the two. This isn't a deal breaker, and we pick it up there.
It's not a deal breaker. No, it's not a deal breaker.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
So in 2008 and 2012, you voted for?
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. 2016?
I voted for Donald Trump.
Hillary Clinton. 2020?
Donald Trump.
Biden. And who will you vote for in 2024?
Donald Trump.
Uh-oh.
You may vote for the former president.
I may.
Why do you say that?
My views on certain things have changed. I am very much so riding the fence.
What are you struggling with?
Being in a pattern of doing the same thing that I've been doing, because it's kind of like second nature. Like when you go in a poll, Democrat. Something has to happen. I mean, it's just so expensive to survive. And we're planning on having kids. I don't want to live in a stressful environment trying to rub two pennies together to try to make it either.
When did you?
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is.
And then with the dude, and what? Notice when he gets cut off.
Make that decision to check a different box.
Donald Trump's first term. I'm saying first term because I'm pretty sure he'll be in there for a second term here soon. But in either case, post-Obama, I decided that the party just wasn't suitable to the goals that
How
I had.
How did you come to that conclusion? Because at the end of the day, former President Obama was the first African-American president in history.
That's just
I
true.
I mean, as a black man, I would assume that meant something.
Absolutely. You know, I attended the inauguration on his first term. I grew up outside of Washington, D.C. in the 80s and 90s, came through the system as an institutional Democrat, went through a lot of the experiences that young black men go through.
But then my life changed, and there's more on that coming up. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin show.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful stuff right there.
But then I saw life in a different way.
Right.
Yeah, we'll get to that. All right, biggest story today, David.
Biggest story of the day, Robert Hur, former special counsel investigating the willful retention of classified documents on the part of Joe Biden, testifying on Capitol Hill today, knocking down some disinformation from the Democrats that he was that Joe Biden was exonerated in this report. Robert Hur says, I didn't exonerate him. I didn't find him guilty either. That's not my role as a prosecutor. The whole point is I didn't think we can get a conviction. Because Joe Biden's old and senile. My words, not his.
Yeah, wild. And Hank Johnson got in the fray. We got a lot of updates to get to, a lot of fun to get to in just a few. Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the Millennial. The Boomer. Oh, sorry. The Sexy Boomer. That's
easy.
Scott Robbins. All right. Couple updates on what's going on Capitol Hill today with Robert Hur and the whole Joe Biden classified documents case. I was playing a clip. BET went to Georgia to try to figure out what's going on with the black vote. Because a lot of black voters are saying, I'm going to vote for Trump. Like, record numbers. Okay, so you had the clip of the gentleman at the barber shop, and then we had the couple, black man and black woman. He's voted for Trump the last two times, voted for Obama before that. And this time around, she's also going to vote for Trump. That's what she's planning on. So the interviewer asked the man why he voted for Trump in 2016, and he starts to answer the question. We didn't quite get to the end. But again, listen to right where he gets cut off. I thought this was interesting.
Came through the system as an institutional Democrat, went through a lot of the experiences that young black men go through, good and bad, ended up leaving that environment, grew up, started looking at the world through a new lens.
Black men are a coveted demographic for both parties.
And that's it. He's done.
Yeah.
I thought he was just getting to the meat of it. Didn't you?
Well, I thought I did something that was bleeding in over the board. I did, because he was right in the middle of a sentence. Right.
Yes, all of a sudden. And then it's off to the next interview.
Yeah.
Like, we can't let other people hear what he has to say.
Wow, that was weird, man.
Yes.
Yeah, that was weird.
So not just me. All right.
Yeah, no.
Okay. One strong black man from Georgia is Hank Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm a heavyweight in Congress, has been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate respect from this show, always. And he was talking today on Capitol Hill in this case, David.
Yeah, Robert Hur is the former special counsel who had been investigating Joe Biden's mishandling of classified documents. Robert Hur ultimately decided to not prosecute Joe Biden because he didn't think a jury would convict him. Because, well, he's a well-meaning but kind of doddering old man who just has a bad memory.
Right.
How do you...
Right. Got all these Democrats at the hearing today going, well, Donald Trump, lame. I mean, Captain Nadge, Jerry Nadler did a montage, I think it was from MSNBC, of Donald Trump slurring and mixing up words and whatnot. And one of the clips was when he goes, I don't like mosquitoes. I don't know why that was included in the evidence that Donald Trump is supposedly senile. I mean, who likes mosquitoes?
I love the mosquito bit from Trump. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's because he saw a mosquito flying near him and he smashed it and goes, I don't like mosquitoes.
I never liked them.
Is that part of the test that doctors use when trying to determine whether or not somebody is senile? Do you like mosquitoes? No. Well, obviously senile. Anyway, Hank Johnson had a different approach. See, he wanted to accuse Robert Hur of trying to get Donald Trump reelected so that he could be in the Justice Department if that happened.
Yes. Well, the people that write the scripts for Hank Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a member of the Federalist Society?
I am not a member of the Federalist Society.
But you are a Republican, though, aren't you?
I am a registered Republican.
Yes, sir. And you're doing everything you can do to get President Trump reelected so that you can get appointed as a federal judge or perhaps to another position in the Department of Justice. Isn't that correct?
Congressman, I have no such aspirations, I can assure you, and I can tell you that partisan politics had no place whatsoever in my work.
Hank, playing a little game of gotcha.
Yeah, trying to.
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, he understands competitions and how to get the upper hand, things
true.
Like that.
Midgets against giants. The midget will not win the fight. I'm going to tell you that.
I'm telling you, an expert when it comes to this, and this is one of the reasons he's always had the utmost respect from this show as a heavyweight in the political world.
You put 30 midgets in with the...
this is classic Hank.
Giant. That's where you put...
I suppose we better set this up if you've never heard this before. If you've listened to this show for a while, I'm sure you've probably heard it.
Yeah.
It is classic Hank Johnson talking about unions. He had to apologize for this over and over, but man,
the midgets together, the giants take real good care of the midgets as long as the midgets do what the giants want them to do. Now they're going to crush the midgets. Midgets get a chance to speak with one voice, and the midgets then have a chance collectively to speak eye to eye with the midget.
It's not really standing on the shoulders of giants. It's standing on the shoulders of midgets, right, one after another, and then they're tall enough
to look the giant in the eye.
Correct.
And they got one big trench coat that they all wear and they share so that they look like another giant just with a itty-bitty head.
You know, I don't have it in front of me, but the apology was in some ways even better. I refer as little people.
Yeah, because they... They got a website, actually. That's actually what he said. They got a whole website.
Now it's all these hypotheticals he throws out there all the time, too.
Well, yeah. The guy's an intellectual heavyweight. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can see things that others can't see danger that others hadn't even comprehended before. If you remember talking about Guam.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
As a military leader, I think if we get a lot of military, even if we put them all on one side, we're not thinking the island will capsize.
Well, he's such a heavyweight, they won't send him to Guam, actually, because if they put him on the island, it's going to tip over.
Absolutely. Got to get a life jacket then.
Yeah.
Wow. Hank. Yeah, can't get ahead. A person of color in this country can't do it. Almost impossible. But that guy's in Congress, has been for years and years and years. Okay. David, you have a story about, I just see Joe Biden cargo's vroom.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
This is part of the analysis of the transcript that has been released from Robert Hur's interview with Joe Biden. As it reads, and I believe this was out of the Washington Post, which Jerry Nadler actually wanted in the record, and I don't really know why, because maybe he just read the headline and figured this helps our case. I'm not really sure.
Probably.
It reads, once it was while lamenting that he could drive his vintage Chevy Corvette only the length of his driveway. The other time, was during a lengthy exchange over the torque of electric vehicles. "By the way, you know how it works?" Biden asked her. "It's really cool." Her says, "Sir, I mean, I'd love to hear much more about this, but I do have a few more questions to get through." You step your foot on the accelerator all the way down until it gets about $6,000-$7,000. Then, all of a sudden, it will say, "Launch." All you do is take your foot off the brake. Transcript then indicates, "Makes car sound as well as laughter."
Vroom!
Yeah. The president of the United States, you know, car goes vroom.
Golly. It's so funny. Okay. Other things out there. Oh, got to get this from the FBI director. This is serious stuff, man.
Oh, yeah. The FBI director, Christopher Wray, confirmed that they are tracking massive numbers of criminal gangs coming up through the southern border. Remember, everyone in liberal media will tell you that this guy's belief is that white supremacist terrorists are the number one threat in America.
Yes. That's what they say all the time.
From an FBI perspective, we are seeing a wide array of very dangerous threats that emanate from the border, and that includes everything from the drug trafficking. The FBI alone seized enough fentanyl in the last 2 years to kill 270 million people. That's just on the fentanyl side. An awful lot of the violent crime in the United States is at the hands of gangs who are themselves involved in the distribution of that fentanyl. You know, there is a particular network that has where some of the overseas facilitators of the smuggling network have ISIS ties that we're very concerned about, and that we've been spending an enormous amount of effort with our partners investigating. Exactly what that network is up to is something that's, again, the subject of our current investigation.
Okay. I didn't see all of the morning news shows today. I think I saw just Good Morning America. That wasn't there.
No.
Do you watch them all today, Scott?
Watched a lot of them.
Did you see that anywhere?
No, I didn't. I'm hearing it for the first time, actually. No.
If you polled Americans, would you want to know this information
if
it was happening?
So, yeah. I mean,
who wouldn't want to know that?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he just says what we already know, but he confirms it.
It is. Well, and when it's Christopher Wray,
yeah,
for him to admit it is like, yeah, another step to me.
Yeah.
Like, wow, man, this is serious stuff. And I don't know how else you say it. And there were a couple of clips of Biden out there. He was asked, you know, as he's getting off planes and stuff like that, asking when, when executive action is coming on the border. And he doesn't answer the question. He doesn't think it's needed. He's waiting for something else.
Is an border executive action coming? An executive action.
He didn't understand the question.
On the border, action happened by itself. The passing it.
But Congress can't come to an agreement.
Well, they haven't yet.
Help them.
They haven't yet. I'm helping them.
What?
What?
I never did understand it.
I'm happy to help. Huh?
Yeah. And then what we need is an orderly process. This is when he was speaking to people. Because he wants you to know it's not all criminals coming in, okay?
Look, what we need is, just an orderly process at the border, not to keep, they're not vermin, they're not scum, they're not people who are all criminals coming. It's just,
yeah, and then it lost a lung there at the end.
I mean, I don't know. There are a lot of people crossing the border who have been caught that I would describe as vermin.
Yes.
And it has absolutely nothing to do with the color of their skin or their nation of origin. It has everything to do with the fact that they are committing heinous crimes.
Correct.
And running drugs.
I mean, most people in America don't care if they're white, black, whatever. People that commit heinous crimes they don't want in the country. They don't want fentanyl coming across the border.
Yeah, and on the note of fentanyl, I think I sent this picture to you a few months ago. It was the first time I'd ever seen this. Narcan available at the in the pharmacy, just on the counter next to the Advil.
Yeah.
And that's freaking depressing, man.
It, you know what? I thought the same thing. I mean, I hear people go, isn't it great? I mean, you can get Narcan, which I suppose, yeah, it's a good thing you have access to it like that.
It's terrible that we need it.
Right. That's the point, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's another thing when you look at it and go, wow, this is where we are. Man, over-the-counter Narcan.
Crazy.
That was the sound of a car
starting up. Speaking of cars, man, did you see this? That if you have a new car, you have different apps on the car, it could be telling your insurance company you're a reckless driver.
Yeah.
Well, and when I saw the story, I'm thinking about, you know, the different apps that maybe you share with family or friends, like a Life 360 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you see your kids driving, and then you could get a report how many times there was hard braking, rapid acceleration, speeding, all that stuff. It's one thing if you're trying to keep tabs on your kid. It's another. That's going, and the insurance company finds out how you drive. But most of this article out of the failing New York Times mostly talks about GM. But a lot of car companies are doing it. They'll get you to use free apps. And then the fine print that very few people read says they're going to share your data with third parties. One app called OnStar Smart Driver is pushed as something to help you be a better driver. But yeah, you've got hard braking, hard accelerating anytime you drive over 80. And if you enabled it, I mean, your insurance company can find out about it. All of a sudden, you're like, hey, why are my rates going up?
Yeah. Yeah. Dang.
You don't want to get that, Scott. I'm here to tell you. No. We'll just leave it at that.
No, I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm really not even going to disagree with you. Yeah, it probably wouldn't be good for me. No.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine if it picked up audio of you yelling? No. Holy mackerel. That'd take it to another level.
Yeah.
All right. Got an update. Oh, a story from the University of Texas and much more you got to hear.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Running a business is a 24/7 job.
And it's easy to fall behind on things like closing the books.
If this is you, you should know these three numbers.
37,000, 25, 1.
37,000. That's the number of businesses that have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle.
25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs.
One, because your business is one of a kind. So you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, everything you need to grow, all in one place.
Having all your information in one place makes it easy to make better decisions.
And right now, NetSuite has an unprecedented offer to make it happen.
Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/MVR.
That's netsuite.com/MVR to get your own KPI checklist.
netsuite.com/MVR.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
All right. The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Okay, watching a bunch of different things going on with news today. In the end, you start thinking, okay, we're going to be all right. What about my investments?
Going to
be all right. Am I scared for the future?
A little bit worried, you know. We got a senile old man running the country who apparently isn't fit enough to stand trial. So, yeah, of course you're a little worried about your savings and investments.
Yeah, it's not too late, too, to diversify. That's a hard word for me. Diversify an old IRA or 401k, turn it into gold, and Birch Gold Group can help you.
As opposed to a lot of other investments like bobbleheads and such, gold thrives in times of uncertainty and is an important part of diversifying your savings.
Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it will not cost you a penny out of pocket.
Yeah, just text MVCR to 989898 for a free information kit.
They've got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers.
All you got to do is text MVCR to 989898 to get started with your free info kit.
Again, that's MVCR 989898 to get started. Okay. David, University of Texas.
Yeah, the University of Texas was one of several institutions that stopped requiring standardized test scores for applicants because of equity, right? SAT, ACT, it's racist. We need to judge on other means, okay?
You Asian Americans are too smart. Stop it. We can't test anymore. We got too many of you people.
Well, they've reinstated that requirement now because the obvious thing happened. Not requiring at least some objective criteria in admissions led to worse outcomes for students. It wasn't just about crowding out students who had a chance to succeed, but it was about letting people in that, frankly, they were being set up to fail.
It's happened for years.
And
it's been well documented.
Test optional admissions had a first semester GPA 0.86 points lower than those who submitted SAT or ACT. That's a whole grade lower if they skipped that point.
It's honestly one of the cruelest things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've heard the stories from different people who have gone through this that thought, hey, I've made it, and I get there, and I can't compete. It's beyond my grasp. And then it's like the shock of their life. It's terrible to do that to somebody. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show.
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, so what's the latest on Capitol Hill with this hearing?
You got Robert Hur, the special counsel who was investigating Joe Biden's mishandling of classified documents, and Democrats are very upset because they felt like he was too mean to Joe Biden. But again, I think he reiterated the premise of why he wasn't prosecuting Joe Biden pretty well. I summed it up by saying, look, I don't think I can get a conviction. Because he's an old man who means well, but he's got clearly mental issues.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. At the same time, he tried to hide the evidence.
Yeah. It's very odd how that works, right? You got the ghostwriter who had these documents or had the recording where Joe Biden was talking about the documents, and he, well, tried to delete those.
Yes.
As soon as he found out that someone was investigating it.
So that doesn't seem like a well-meaning old man.
No, it doesn't.
So either way, this is not a good day for Biden. I don't know how you could spin it that it is.
Do you realize what we're talking about? What we're talking about right now?
What's that,
Whether
Scott?
Somebody has the mental acuity to stand trial on a charge that's being leveled against them, yet can still be president of the United States of America.
It is this crazy thing.
This is an insane time to be alive, isn't it?
Yes, because the point you bring up is this, at least in my mind.
Yeah.
So we're in the news every day. We're in this sort of bubble of following this stuff.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like you do get used to, like, this story. And then you take a step back and you realize the guy that's the sitting president, running for president, who has his backers saying he's at the top of his game.
Yeah.
At the same time, you have a lawyer saying, I don't have enough to convict because the jury's just going to see him as a doddering old man that can't remember nothing. And then brings up his son's death and can't remember what year it was.
And the special counsel is saying what we see every day. He's saying it out loud.
Yes.
Again, this is not a guy you're debating whether or not he should still sell garage doors or not.
Or run the family business.
Right, exactly. You're debating whether or not he should be president of the United States.
Correct.
This
That's
is
the world
nuts.
We live in.
This is where we are.
I think I think Trump should just lean into all of his legal stuff even more and just say, hey, say what you want about me, but at least I'm fit to stand trial.
Yeah, 100%. Sane enough. Just, yeah.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
Wild, it's, man. Stunning.
You have a clip of, oh, no, not Adam Schiff.
Oh, yeah. Well, the intelligence community will be giving Trump classified briefings once he officially secures the Republican presidential nomination, I should say. Liberals are freaking out about it. What about the classified documents, man? Representative Adam Schiff says, don't worry, the deep state's got this one.
What did they say again? Thank you.
So I have to hope, and knowing the intelligence community as I do, that they will dumb down the briefing for Donald Trump. That is, they will give him no more information than absolutely necessary, nothing that would reveal sources or methods, because we can't trust that he will do the right thing with that information. He's been so reckless.
Hey, Jack Wagon, ask the American people, who are we safer under? Trump or Biden? Did you see the stats on that polling?
Oh,
it's not good for
that.
Biden.
Yeah.
Oh, it's almost 2-1. Okay, yeah, got to admit it. I may not like Trump, but the country was safer under him. No doubt about it. Yes. And did you have an update on Jake Sullivan today?
I did. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan was taking the podium during the White House press briefing. And announced, hey, we got another emergency aid package going to Ukraine. We flipped over the couch cushions at the Pentagon, what? And we came up with more money.
So today, on behalf of President Biden, I'm announcing an emergency package of security assistance of $300 million worth of weapons and equipment to address some of Ukraine's pressing needs. This is possible because of unanticipated cost savings in contracts that DOD negotiated to replace equipment we've already sent to Ukraine through previous drawdowns.
So hold on, time out. Savings? We're $34 trillion in debt.
Yeah. Yeah.
The new budget's another 7-point-whatever trillion. Oh, found some money.
They need to make
the vast military-industrial complex. They reduced prices a little bit. We got a little leg room here to get some more weapons there.
Well, they got to clear out the old models and make room for the new.
Wow.
We got deals here, man. We got rebates.
They need to make a new game show where people just wander around the Pentagon checking underneath every couch cushion in the building. It's like you can win $300 million because who knows? They got piles of cash, apparently. Laying around.
And, I mean, if you've looked in depth to the story of Ukraine, it's not just weapons. We're funding the people there to a large degree. I'm sure you've seen that before,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like pension programs and social welfare programs. Yeah.
So, thinking of that, as now I'm thinking of another story I saw today from the Wall Street Journal, more Americans are treating their 401ks like cash machines. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. A record share of 401k account holders took early withdrawals from their accounts last year for financial emergencies, according to internal data from Vanguard Group. And, of course, as we know, it says retirement plans like a 401k are designed to keep Americans' nest eggs out of reach until later in life. And, yeah, the values go up, but Americans are dealing with conflicting financial forces. While hiring has been strong and workers' earnings keep rising, the cost of groceries, childcare, and car insurance keeps climbing. More people are carrying heftier balances on their credit cards. So after that, like, well, I'm going to have to dip into the old 401k at a record number. But the economy's awesome.
Dang.
Right.
Yeah. So we find this extra money. Good going, Jake. What are we going to do? Give Americans a little relief? No. Secure our border? F no. Of course not.
No.
Ukraine.
Well, and, you know, we're going to send another $330 million to Haiti.
Haiti, yes. Yeah. Okay. Wow, man.
Dang. Gosh, dang it.
I know. I feel like I'm piling on right now some of these stories said you over the top, and I don't mean to do that.
So freaking frustrating.
It is frustrating in a number of different ways. I hesitate to even bring this next story up. I didn't know if we'd have time to get to it today. What is going on at Space Camp?
Yeah.
You seen this?
Yeah. The Libs of TikTok thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, And again, thank goodness for Libs of TikTok. All right, doing what she does. If you hadn't heard this, you have a dude that identifies as a woman that's able to go in the locker room and even the showers at space camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
How is that possible?
Well, because, I mean, it is possible because it's allowed. It's not only allowed, but probably promoted.
My goodness, man, oh, man.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. There's something else from Libs of TikTok today. Mayor Pete Buttigieg, his husband, is it Chasten?
Chasten.
Took issue with Libs of TikTok being on the board in Oklahoma, the school board, right?
Yeah.
Or it's not
it's a
school
library
board.
Library council, I think.
Library yeah. council, sorry. Okay. Took issue. No education experience.
That guy. Yeah, I saw that.
From Ms. Raycheck.
As smart as me, anyway.
All of those things.
Right.
And she said, well, it's because she has released video of him before at a different camp. And did we have this on the air before of him having kids recite the Pride Allegiance?
Yeah, the gay Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah, we have.
Okay. And that had been a while since we'd had that. And I don't know, maybe the first time I heard it, I didn't see the video with it. It's terrible, man. These kids, what are they, 11, 12 years old?
Yeah.
And there's Pete's husband saying, okay, say it along with me.
All right. I pledge my heart. I pledge my heart. To the rainbow.
To the rainbow.
The not-so-typical gay camp.
Oh, the not-so-typical gay camp.
One camp.
One camp.
Full of pride.
Full of pride.
Indivisible.
Indivisible.
With affirmation and equal rights for all.
With affirmation and equal rights for all.
Watch your heads.
And now he's waving the flag. Okay. I dare ask again, why always the kids?
Well, he's not going to get any pushback, is my guess. If you did that with a group of adults,
I'm saying you have parents all across America saying, stay away from the kids with this indoctrination.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. Stay away from the kids. They won't do it.
No.
Why?
Well, nobody's making them.
Hey, David will answer that question.
I mean, I think there's three possible outcomes.
Yeah.
Right. You got one, you've got people who are more interested in some sort of political advantage, political indoctrination. The second group is people who just want to get along, go along. Right. They don't really think things through. They just don't want to be seen as a bad guy. And then the third group of people, and I'm not saying it's all, I'm not saying it's most, but there is a third group of people that's just downright evil and they want to diddle your kids.
There you go.
That's it.
Well, mine has
choose your
simple,
fighter.
Yeah, I mean, simple explanation, but I didn't think it all the way through. Thank you, David.
Right. I mean,
again, the kids, the space camp, this thing, it's like, stop.
I'm more inclined to go with your number two answer, and that is get along to get along type of thing, because they don't want to be seen as the bigot.
Yeah,
your daughters are at this point.
I understand, but the pressure is so high. It's been turned up so loud.
Cowards.
That's basically it. I'm not speculating on the ratio as to who's more in which camp or whatever, but it does come down to three things: political activists, cowards, and diddlers.
Yeah.
That's the only those are the only three options that you would actually try to hammer this stuff home for the kids.
Okay. Another question I have, switching gears, because I think you have the answer to this. Who now deserves a minimum wage? What are we talking about?
Oh, I actually love this. I found something that, as a failed musician, I 100% am on board with something that Democrat Representative Rashida Tlaib is promoting.
Oh, no. Rashida.
New law proposal, which would enable bad musicians to make more money. She says, well, listen, right now, the current system, because of Spotify, Apple Music, and whatnot, it would take 800,000 streams per month to make the equivalent of $15 an hour, and that's just not right.
That's what she's fighting for right
now?
Yes. Okay.
In the vast majority of our artists never, ever get to 800,000 streams in a year. The Living Wage for Musicians Act, which I introduced with Representative Bowman, would change that by creating a new fund that aims to pay artists at least one penny per stream. The bill will completely reform the music industry, supporting much more diverse set of artists, enabling more recording and touring, and sending a ripple effect throughout local economies.
Oh, my goodness. So you're for that, David.
Well, I mean, again, I've got a bunch of original music that I will not.
You won't even let play. Robbins and I hear it.
I will not
play
for anyone,
ready for it.
But if this bill passes, I'm going to write a song called From the River to the Sea. Thank you, Rashida, for my fee. Okay?
That's pretty good.
The title cut.
Yes. I think the greatest statement from Rashida of all time, I think it was ranting about abortion.
Maybe you shouldn't even want to have sex with me.
Don't worry. No worries there, Rashida.
None.
Rest easy. All right. News update you want to hear straight ahead.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Making plans for your finances is important.
And that includes planning for how your family would get by if something were to happen to you.
Make life insurance part of your financial planning this year. Start shopping now with Policy Genius to find the right policy to protect your family.
Getting life insurance today means you'll have peace of mind so that if something happens to you, your family can cover expenses.
Policy Genius makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price.
You can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million worth of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams.
They work for you, not the insurance companies.
That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius.
Head to PolicyGenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save.
That's PolicyGenius.com.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. All right, real quick. I know we got the Scott Robbins trifecta coming up in a bit. I want to ask you, Scott. Usually, yeah. I don't ask you ahead of time what you're going to do. You do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you mentioning Megyn Kelly at all in your trifecta today?
No, I'm not, actually.
Okay. All right. We'll get to that.
It's great, though.
I know you wanted to do that at some point today. We should probably do that. She took down George Stephanopoulos yesterday in a brutal way, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard it, it's good. I don't know if you happen to see this story. Glenn Youngkin, Virginia governor. Did you hear anything about a pro-Palestinian protest that disrupted interstate traffic yesterday?
I didn't, but I saw the story, and I wasn't aware of it. No.
It didn't last long because he said, we can't tolerate this. And said, no, we're not doing this. Said it's unacceptable to block interstates, endanger the lives of Virginians, and cause mayhem on our roads. And he thanked the state police for their commitment to ensuring safety and quick handling during this morning's commute.
Good for him.
What you had was pro-Palestinian protesters blocking a segment of the interstate to say, cease fire, blah, 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 all that nonsense. They had positioned themselves across Interstate 95, completely blocking the roadway. So apparently they used ladders, tape, a large metal chain, and sleeping dragon devices to connect themselves all the way across the interstate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're holding the sign, stop genocide, all of that sort of stuff. The Virginia State Police said they started receiving calls from multiple motorists around 6:54 in the morning. Arriving on scene, state police encountered 9 individuals lying in the southbound lanes, linked themselves together, and they just kind of hauled them on out of there.
Yeah.
And arrested them. Good.
Golly, man, I'll tell you this.
You're hesitating saying what you want to say, aren't you?
Well, no, I think what needs to happen is Elon Musk needs to start supplying people with Cybertrucks and just start running these idiots over. Like,
yeah,
no,
that's what
you have to get out of the road. No, we're not doing this anymore. And also, by the way, if you use the Cybertruck, it's carbon neutral. So
there you go.
No emissions. No CO2 emissions, okay? No, but seriously, you can't do that. I am amazed at the amount of restraint that a lot of drivers have had.
Me too.
Throughout, whenever this nonsense occurs. Because, man, I can tell you, as a guy who takes his kids to daycare on his way to work,
yeah,
traffic is already kind of hard to manage. And yeah, if these jackasses are out on the road,
oh,
I don't know what I would do. I mean, it would take a lot of deep breathing to tolerate it.
100% agree.
Well, it can't be tolerated. It needs to be stopped, just like Youngkin did it. And therefore, it stops happening. I mean, once you put your... If it's allowed to happen, which it's allowed to happen in a lot of different places, yeah, it doesn't stop. It never stops.
Like that one in Nevada, just boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. All right. Biggest story today?
Biggest story of the day, Robert Herr's testimony, as he is facing questions from both sides of the aisle about his assessment of Joe Biden's cognitive abilities and whether or not they are so deteriorated, would he be able to be found guilty by a jury of his peers for mishandling classified documents?
It's really something. And a lot has come out of this. Well, and he was holding on to stuff. And he tried to obstruct justice. I don't know how you can come away with it anything other than what's in the information that's coming out.
Right.
So there'll be more on that. We got the Robbins trifecta. And then George Stephanopoulos, after he's trying to shame Nancy Mace, a rape survivor yesterday, got taken to the woodshed by Megyn Kelly. All coming up right here. Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer. The millennial is David Van Camp with his rubber ducky shirt on, and then the sexy boomer with the queen shirt. Just trying to paint the picture. That's Scott Robbins.
Queen of band, by the way, just reference that, please.
So I thought it was Queen Elizabeth. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right, exactly.
All right. Before we get to the Megyn Kelly piece on George Stephanopoulos, news update, and this is from today, the hearing with Robert Herr about the classified documents in Biden.
Robert Herr was the special counsel who was investigating Joe Biden for mishandling classified documents and said no jury would convict, which is why he didn't go after him criminally, because Joe Biden's a doddering old man, essentially. And Democrats have taken this to mean that that Joe Biden was completely exonerated. And Pramila Jayapal, Democrat out of Washington, tried to make that case as well. Got interrupted by the special counsel, by the way.
Oh, the brain trust speaks. Pramila.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden.
I need to go back and make sure that I take note of a word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Herr,
that
I'm going to continue with my questions.
Part of my task as
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know that,
that
the term
that I ultimately reached.
I know that
whether
the term
sufficient evidence existed so that the likely
you didn't,
outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
I know that
I did
the
not
term willful
that
retention
does not appear in the report,
has a Mr. Herr, it's my time. Thank you.
Well, you're saying a bunch of BS.
Hey, he's not going to let you do it.
Yeah.
Hey, he's not going to let you do it. That's a lie.
There you go.
Yeah, stop lying.
Yeah, the other tactic earlier, Captain Nads, Jerry Nadler. A load.
I'd like to put it into the record that the Washington Post today said that Joe Biden is just fine for president.
And that's actually not lot. What they said.
No, that was just the headline.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to put in the record, Ned's blog said he was guilty. Who cares what people think?
Well, it's
big
just,
deal, so what?
It's such garbage.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the Washington Times thinks or New York Post or whatever. It doesn't matter.
I'll take the Washington Times or the New York Post. What I won't take is the Washington Post.
I won't take the Washington Post either.
It's
but
propaganda.
You can't put it in there. You can't go, hey, here's evidence right here, you know? Come on.
Put it in the record, please.
Yeah, shut up.
And Antifa doesn't exist.
Right.
That's another great one from Captain Nads.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to move on. All right, so we covered this yesterday. It was little George Stephanopoulos on ABC with Nancy Mace, who is a rape survivor, you know, basically shaming her. How can you, you know, of all people, endorse Donald Trump? You know, because of the E. Jean Carroll thing. And he was wrong when he said liable for rape from that civil trial. That's not true. Molly Hemingway and others pointed that out. But if you missed part of that exchange with Nancy Mace, it went, well, it was long, but
and
here's
you're
part
trying
of
to shame me this morning.
I'm just asking.
And I find it offensive, and this is why women won't come forward.
Women won't come forward because they're defamed by those who perpetrate rape. Donald
they
Trump
are
been
judged and they're shamed, and you're trying to shame me this morning.
I'm
I think
not,
it's disgusting.
I'm not shaming you at all.
I told my story. It took me 25 years to tell my story. I was judged for it. I still get judged for it today.
I'm asking you a very simple question.
Okay. A lot of people took issue with that. So, Megyn Kelly's show yesterday. And this is a little bit longer. I'm just trying to hit the highlights, okay? But it'll take a second. I think it's worth it. She lays it out like this.
What a kind, sensitive man who clearly cares deeply about women and their sexual assault allegations. Thanks for being an ally, George.
Starting out with some sarcasm.
I see how concerned you are that victims might not come forward if they are publicly attacked by their rapist or his defenders. To be sure, that is a very real concern. It happens all the time, which you know, because you invented it. Remember? When you created a whole command center designed to smear Bill Clinton's sexual assault and rape accusers so you could elevate him right into the presidency.
Oh, boy. And now we go back to history. And she reminds people of things that George doesn't want to be reminded of.
Juanita.
Yes, talking about Juanita Broderick. Oh, is it just some of the victims?
Broderick, Kathleen Willey, Paula Jones, Jennifer Flowers, to name just a few, said you and James Carville, at Hillary Clinton's direction, formed a so-called war room whose purpose was, quote, to destroy any woman that would challenge Bill Clinton. You know the war room. They made a whole movie about it.
And here's clips from it.
George Stephanopoulos, I'm director of communications.
Bush was on the defensive. Another good night for Bill Clinton. Three debates, three wins.
I guarantee you that if you do this, you'll never work in Democratic politics again.
Threatening people on the phone. How that whole thing went. And no, he doesn't like to be reminded of
it. Such a tough guy. This attorney points out that you don't like to talk about this particular behavior, George. Maybe that's why you skipped it in your discussion with Nancy Mace. But as you know, private detectives were hired. The women say they were threatened, and they were publicly shamed by you and your well-funded team. Did you worry then that this behavior might shame victims from coming forward?
Oh, boy. And then she goes on.
You later described yourself as Bill Clinton's, quote, enabler. But, sir, how could you have enabled and defended a man like this, accused by multiple women of sexual assault, rape, and harassment?
Yeah, George, one so concerned about victims.
She was a nothing to you.
Oh, yeah.
Your buddy Carville immediately went after Ms. Jones, infamously saying, if you drag a $100 bill through a trailer park, you never know what you'll find.
Oh.
And you? Did you defend Paula Jones, saying, we don't shame accusers? That's wrong. No.
No. No, he didn't do that. He didn't defend.
Bill Clinton would ultimately pay Paula Jones almost $1 million.
How many people do you think remember that? That he had to pay her $1 million.
Yeah, you know what? And as weird as that sounds, I was following it at the time. I don't remember the $1 million settlement. I don't.
It didn't get covered that much.
To settle her civil suit against him. And you remained Team Clinton all the way.
And then her rap on it, or at least part of the rap.
But now you, quote, don't understand how Nancy Mace can support a man found liable for sexual assault of one woman 30 years ago in a civil trial in which the burden of proof is just 51% likely.
And she can't remember the year.
My God, how did anyone at ABC think this was a good line of inquiry for George Stephanopoulos?
Yeah. I thought that was well done.
Dang.
I thought it was just me. I walked in today, and you're like, did you hear the Megyn Kelly thing?
Oh, yeah. She just lit him up, man.
Oh, wow. He deserves that, too.
Absolutely deserves it. And let's see what they do. Let's see what ABC does, if anything.
Do you think they'll apologize?
Well, they should.
Oh,
and
no, they won't.
They won't. No, you're probably right. I mean, the side of me that says the guy deserves at least a suspension, it won't happen. But,
yeah.
I mean, again, switch this around. I know that game's weird to play, but switch it around.
Oh, if it's a host on Fox?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
With this line of questioning to a Democrat? I mean, seriously?
Oh, the boycotts would have been started.
My God,
by
yes.
Now. Yeah, that's absolutely true. All right, you ready for your big three?
Yep, let's go.
Here we go.
Are you ready?
One, two.
It's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Every day about this time, the Scott Robbins trifecta, helped by his hero.
Hi, it's me, Casey.
Oh, Casey, good morning.
I'm ready.
He just got up.
Three.
Sleeps late.
Number three, the Secret Service driver of the Beast, the presidential vehicle, has, well, now it's become unearthed testimony he gave to the January 6th committee about the alleged, Trump assault on Secret Service.
Remember? He lunged at the steering wheel and tried to steer it?
Yeah, and grabbed someone by the neck and whatnot. Yeah.
Mark Meadows, Cassidy Hutchinson, who attested that the president somehow managed to grab the wheel of the beast to try to get the kid to the Capitol.
Well, she heard it from a friend who had heard it from a friend. Yes. It was like an REO Speedwagon
right,
song.
Right, exactly. The story was ludicrous. It was insane at the time it came out, right?
Yep.
But there it was. The driver has now said, after they unearthed a few emails, that Mr. Trump never lunged for the steering wheel or physically accosted the agents, contradicting everything that was said earlier in testimony. He said, I didn't see him reach for anything. I was there. I was driving. Said he never grabbed the steering wheel. I didn't see him. You know, I didn't see him try to lunge and try to get in front of the seat or anything. Remember they said he was trying to hop in the front seat?
Oh, yeah. He all limbered up and he was...
He's going to throw one leg over the seat and just jump right into the front
flexibility
seat.
Like a kung fu master to get in the front seat and wrestle the wheel away from the driver.
So anyway, this has been debunked for the millionth time, but this time they got the driver going, hey, man, he never grabbed the wheel. I don't know what you're talking about.
That is hilarious, man.
Now, on with the countdown.
Scott Robbins trifecta, top three.
Jumping over the seat is what I thought was the best.
Absolutely.
Trump doing that from the back seat.
Up to number...
Two.
Number two, a win for biology in Kansas.
Yeah, Kansas is joining Florida as being a state that will only recognize one's biological gender at birth on a driver's license. This case went to court. Now a judge in Kansas ruled the state's law isn't a violation of transgender rights at all, period. The judge ruled the state isn't violating any rights under the state's constitution by refusing to change the driver's license to reflect the gender's identity. Now the judge went on to say, you can be anything you want to be, but you just can't be that way on the driver's license.
Right.
I mean, if you want to identify as whatever you want to identify was, you know, another guy said after the trial, one of the people they interviewed said, hey, man, I want to be 8 inches taller, but I can't put 6'8" on my driver's license.
Right.
I can't do that.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's when the tears came.
Right. Always.
Yes. And the countdown continues.
Scott Robbins,
God,
trifecta,
you know, I
top
do this,
three of the day.
I do this story today, and I'm reading this story today. I'm like, well, of course you can't just say you're something and have it on an official document. You can't do that.
In some places, they do. I know. It's insanity.
And finally,
one.
Golly.
Number one, Oakland is such a crap hole these days that Taco Bell is shutting down the dining rooms.
Yeah, drive-through only now. in at least five Oakland Taco Bell restaurants. Somehow made national news when the chain In-N-Out announced it, that they were going to close a bunch of them in Oakland, but this time it kind of went by the wayside. Yeah, just one. This time it's like five of the Taco Bells are saying, nope, no more indoor dining. You only drive
through. So they're not totally
only.
Closing down.
No, but they're saying you can't come in and dine anymore because people have been stealing and robbing and God knows what else. So
it's a table desert.
Exactly. And what about people who can't afford a car, Jamie? Can't afford a bicycle.
Well, you just got to order drive-through.
Will they be able
and
to
hoof it up to the
walk into the window? Step on that little thing.
A lot of drive-throughs won't let you do that anymore.
No, they won't. I one night a long time ago, I tried that.
How about on a bike? Can you do it on a bike?
No,
I don't think so.
It's a liability issue.
Yeah, it is.
What about a motorcycle?
See, that's different because that's actually a motorized vehicle.
Yeah, they might let them. David, you're right.
If I put a little motor on my bike, like a little moped.
You know the federal government is going to start giving away motors for bikes now for equity.
Yes, in
drive,
the table deserts.
Drive through equity.
But don't call it a crapple, whatever you do, David. No. Heck no. That'd be terrible. All right. Got to get you another news update. And Nimrod's in the news coming up. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. We've talked about it many times. It's very difficult right now with rising costs and concerns about the economy when you're running your own business. It's the hardest it's been in a long time.
Yeah, it is. You can make things easier by simplifying the nuts and bolts of your business with NetSuite by Oracle.
It is everything you need to grow your business all there in one place.
You get a customized solution for all of your key performance indicators.
And it's all in one efficient system, letting you manage risk, get reliable forecast, and improve margins.
Having it all together makes it much easier to make good decisions for the future.
And right now, NetSuite has an unprecedented offer to make it happen.
And here it goes. Download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/MVR.
That's netsuite.com/MVR to get your own KPI checklist.
News update, David Van Camp.
I thought this was pretty funny. Jeff Blair, he's a writer for National Review, podcaster as well, giving the a review or an observation, I should say, of the Robert Hur testimony, Robert Hur being the special counsel who said he wasn't going to prosecute Joe Biden for the mishandling of classified documents because Joe Biden's too old and senile to be convicted by a jury of his peers.
Yeah.
And some of the Democrat reaction right now to this is like, oh, yeah, well, obviously this guy's a partisan hack. Talking about Robert Hur. And Jeff Blair writes, I notice a lot of online message-oriented Democrats trying to push the idea that the Hur testimony has been anything other than terrible for Biden. Well past the point of hackery into sweaty meth-fueled delusion. This ain't it.
Oh, that's good.
That is good.
With that, we go to Nimrod's. Roll it out.
When the going gets tough.
Damn it, this is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dan.
It's Nimrod's in the news on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Nimrod's in the news. We start in the UK. 46-year-old dude did a bunch of drugs. Cocaine, marijuana, other things. Got boozed up, too. Then decided he was going to get in his car and teach bad drivers a lesson. He's sick and tired of the bad drivers out there.
Okay.
People tailgating.
This ought to be fun.
Crossing over the line. Mm-hmm. So he goes onto the freeway, and he's in a silver BMW 125.
Man.
He just starts deliberately crashing into cars. But in his mind, not just anybody, bad drivers. Mm-hmm. He said he was acting as, quote, an enforcer of good driving.
See the Marvel Universe?
Not yet.
The drunk enforcer, yes.
Right, yes.
So if you were lane hogging, driving slow in the fast lane, or tailgating, you were going to get hit.
Dang.
Yeah, in addition to crashing into the other cars, he was driving, as they say, like a lunatic with speeds up to 130 miles an hour.
Holy smokes.
Police say his rampage lasted about a half hour as he crashed into nine other vehicles before he was finally caught and arrested. Thankfully, no one died or seriously. A few had to go to the hospital.
Good God.
Well, you know, yeah. Obviously that's not okay, but I think we need to have a work release program. Get this guy to handle those idiot protesters who glued themselves to roads.
I think you'd have a lot of agreement there.
Yeah.
Oh, and then a dude in Florida was arrested on a warrant last week. According to the booking photo at the time, he was wearing a shirt that said, "Due to unfortunate circumstances, I'm here." Well. And that's Nimrod's in the news.